So let's define these key terms that's on this scorecard, okay? Direct visits are, I click this link that you posted, or I interacted with your marketing and I went directly to your website. That's a direct visit. Email visits are exactly what that means. I responded, I opened your email, I viewed your email, I clicked on whatever you told me to click on, and that becomes an email visit. That would be, both of these are part of the funneling process, two completely different parts. Any questions so far? Okay. Organic visits, we explained that earlier. That is visits you don't have to pay for. Customers you don't have to pay for. Paid visits is exactly what that sounds like. I paid to reach these people. This wasn't Pam Norris. This was Pam Norris's high school buddy I have no idea about, or just someone who lives in Pam Norris's zip code. Everybody got me? A referral visit, let me break this down two different ways. Everyone knows a referral is something that came from someone else. Now, how does a referral visit happen online? Let's bring up email for a second. I look at the email, and then someone shares it with their office email list because it's inspirational or it's impactful or it's about marketing, and you shared it to the marketing department. Now, once I forward that to the marketing email list, someone else not in my database clicks that list, clicks that link, and goes to it. We just did it for Gary V. We just literally put in the chat the Gary V content model. And not only are y'all going to click on it, but anyone watching this video afterwards, for as long as this company is alive, is going to click on it. Those are referral visits that would count for Gary Vaynerchuk. It's when I share it and then someone else receives it and gets that. It's kind of like organic growth, but it is a referral visit or referral growth. Any questions on that so far? All right. Good stuff. Social visits. This is from social media, okay? Social media, if you have a brick-and-mortar office, you can count social visits as that, or you can just name it as to in-person visits or walk-in visits, right? You can have all different categories for that. Now, of course, social visits can also be website-generated. It doesn't just have to be social media. It could be website generated. It could be from YouTube ads, something like that. While that would be a paid visit, I would mark it out as a paid visit. Let's say it's a YouTube link in a description. Then I could count that as a social visit because it came from a YouTube page that had a link in it in the description. Now, of course, here you have Facebook, like Google Plus is no longer in existence. That just ended earlier this year. LinkedIn followers, Twitter followers, etc. Right? You get to mark these downs or jot these downs as individual from each website. From each social media, you want to know what social media works for you, which social media does not. LinkedIn works for me far better than Facebook. It just does. Most of y'all interact with me on Facebook, but LinkedIn works far better for me. Than Facebook, but I know that from the data. Of course, you have your blog subscribers, those people who subscribe to your blogs, email subscribers as your email list, and then total subscribers as everybody that's subscribing you regardless. Now, going down here to generating leads, let's just define generating leads first. Generate means to produce or to not buy, it can be buy, but to build out of thin air, to just bring it to existence, to generate. Not to make, but with your energy, with your effort, you have created a lead out of something, okay? To produce or to build out of thin air. Now, you've got a lot of type of leads. Direct leads, we kind of discussed that already. This is me. I directly marketed to you a text message. You responded back. I directly sent you this email. You responded back. Email leads. It's the same. Well, with the last example, it's email. It's leads that came from email. Organic leads are leads that came from where I did not have to pay for. Paid leads, referral leads, social leads, all the same thing. Okay. All the same thing. Go down to convert leads to sales. Now, we want to know the ratio between leads and sales that gives us our conversion rate, okay? Now, I'm going to tell you that I have focused, in this university, I have focused too much on conversion rates with you all. And it's not that I did it on purpose. It wasn't an error. You guys were at the beginning. You need to focus on your conversion rate. But I want to shift now, since you're nowhere near beginners. You're not even close. I want to shift now and tell you, while your conversion rate is important, building your pipeline is far more important than your conversion rate. Having too many leads is far more important than trying to say the right thing to the right person. It's too hard. Okay? It's too hard. What you want to do is, or let's just face it, more calls, more contacts, more money. Let's just face it, okay? You want to get out the thought process. And let me tell you, it's going to be people like me, and it will be right. It's just, you want to be right, you want to be rich. I'll tell you, well, dude, this is what you say to the right person. This is how you overcome an objection. This is how you mirror. And I'm right. But that's me assuming that you're not trying to get to 8 and 9 figures. If I'm to assume you want your company a billion-dollar company like Ice Buddy, Pam Norris ain't conversion rate. It is massive amounts of contacts and talking to people. Everybody write this down, all of you. You don't have money because you stop having conversations. Your business is not producing income because you stop having conversations with people. It's that simple. You need to have a lot of conversations if you want to have a lot of money. So again, all the same thing, direct, email, or organic. This is just, these are people who bought from me. Now, increase your customer loyalty. Our retention rate is pretty high. I'm going to tell you the two secrets of our retention rate being pretty high. Well, it's three secrets that keep our retention rate. Our retention rate hovers around, well, it depends on where you look at that. But anywhere between 90 and 97%. Just depends on what you're looking at, okay? Just depends on what you're looking at. We had one person cancel their subscription yesterday, and that was the first person to cancel in almost 60 days. Okay? We have a very high retention rate, extremely high retention rate. It's built around these three areas. Well, I'm sorry. Retention means keeping money. It means something else, but that's what it means. For sake of your business, write down retention means keeping money. Grace, what's the number one, according to what I teach, but of course I ain't make this up. What is the number one goal of making money?
Not to lose it.
And the number two goal?
Not to lose it.
And the number 45 goal?
Not to lose it.
Outstanding. Good answer. Good job. There'll be a Lexus in front of your door tomorrow. Outstanding. And you won. You won the Publishing's Clearinghouse contest. Good job. Okay? The number one goal of making money is not to lose it, y'all. Don't lose it. Don't lose it. Don't lose it. Don't lose it. Retention means not losing my customers. Keeping my money. Now let me explain to you why we have a high retention rate. That's just four reasons why we have a high retention. I just thought of a fourth one. Let me do the fourth one first in case I forget. So write number four. Don't put it as number one. Put it as number four. I create exclusivity. I forgot all about that. I create exclusivity. You know that I'll break it down a little bit. Let me go to number one. Number one is over delivering. That's obvious. No one would have, we over deliver with intent. I make sure that when I develop a product, it is completely over delivering by almost 10 times what it should be. If a product doesn't work, one or two things has happened. Thing number one, it wasn't my product. I didn't come up with it. All right? I just covered it up. That's how leadership works. Thing number two, I was too arrogant and I didn't talk to nobody. I just came out with it by myself. Right? It's one of these things. Over-delivering is what we do. The second thing that we do to increase retention is I fire customers all the time. I'm not joking. Is Liddell still on here? Because he need to hear this. He gone? All right. I fire customers all the time. If I have a whole culture of over-delivery, it means that there's a whole culture of people thinking the same way, vibing in the same energy. As soon as you get outside the energy, you got to go. You do. You do. I'm not going to brainwash you to be here. Go. Leave. We have grown more from releasing people. I don't know. I'm going to always tell you that. But remember, I am a pure capitalist. I am a pure capitalist. Everything right with capitalism, I got down. Everything wrong with capitalism, I got down. I fire customers. Thank you for your donation. Your services have been good, and we already cashed that check that you wrote. Thank you. Done. That's why I have a strong refund policy. Now, over-delivering, firing customers, and the third thing we do that we do pretty well would be we give away stuff we're not supposed to. We do the unscalable. We do the unscalable. That's a better way to say that. We do the unscalable. It's scaling means to, I'm going to say this in layman's terms. It means to cookie cutter stuff, create a system, and that the more you throw into it, the more you get out of it, right? And you want to do that. You want to be able to produce, if you can produce 500 Ice Buddy coolers in a day, then you should be asking yourself, how can we produce 5,000 in a day? Right, that's scaling up. That's what you're supposed to do if you're going to be in business. Doing the unscalable says, and I'm going to include a handwritten note, a handwritten thank you note in all 500 of these Ice Buddy coolers. That's the silly stuff I do. We do the unscalable. It's hard. It is completely inconvenient, but I love it, and it keeps us where we should be. So those are the defining, customer lifetime value. I've written a whole blog over this. I'll repost that blog. Grace, do me a favor, since you're not talking. Google Antonio T. Smith Jr. and customer lifetime value, and it should pop up my blog. Customer lifetime value There's a formula for it. I break it down in the blog, and she's going to put it in the chat. But customer lifetime value is how much money is Pam Norris going to spend with ATS over the duration of her lifetime? Okay, that's customer lifetime value. How many times has...
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting six crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus four biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Susan Sorrentino walked into Target or Walmart in her life. They spent $19 to get her. She's been spending money there for decades. Get it? My grandmother should have had stock in Walmart. She went there just to hang out. As soon as the Super Walmart got into our little island, it was over. In fact, she's one of the busiest Walmarts in America. Over. They do, last time I checked, I need to work for, back in 2009, they were doing $200,000 hours. It's ridiculous. Ridiculous. Anywho, that's how much. And you want to know that. You want to be able to project out how much money is Pam Norris worth. So if Pam Norris asks for something, can you give it to her? Because she's worth more than what she's asking for. Did y'all get me? Some of y'all don't treat your customers like that. Make sure you do that. Net promoter score. I don't even know what that is. I've never heard of that before. You know, I'm not sure how they're using it. I'm sure I know what it is. I'm not sure how they're using it. Customer referrals, profit margins. Let's go with profit margins. Profit margins is how high up can you charge, you know, before you start looking like the Wolf of Wall Street. It costs you, well, think about it. Look, well, I'll give you two examples. It costs, I don't know, $3 to, oh, let me make up a price for Ice Buddy. It costs $150 to make the Ice Buddy cooler. She sells it for $250. It's a fair price. That's 80% markup almost. That's not 80%. What is that? What percent is that, Grace? Cost $250. She upcharged. It costs $150 to produce. She sells it for $250. What is that? Feels like 67%. What is that? I'm not sure. Grace is going to find out. Cost $150 to produce. And she...
So,
go ahead.
$150 divided by $250?
Yeah.
That's 60%.
60%. All right, I would say 67. 60% markup. Sounds bad, but it's not bad. Because, for one, those bills got to be paid, yes? Yeah, I do know that, right? We still live in America, right? You die, that light bill still coming. They don't care whatsoever. You know what I'm saying? Then she got to pay her staff. So out of that 60% markup, her personal profit may be something like 2% after all her stuff is done. Fair markup. It's not a problem at all, right? You buy a used car, you expect the used car place to fairly take $1,500 to $2,000 profit off the sale. That's fair. It's totally fair. That's not wrong. That's totally fair. That's a fair commission. Profit margin means that I pay this much for it, but I get to sell this much for it. There is recent news. There's been companies that sell HIV medicine that have, what was it, 20,000% profit margin. That's Wolf of Wall Street stuff. It's wrong. Get it? The profit margin is how much margin, I don't want to use the definition, but how much can I increase this price off the price that I pay? And you want to do it as much as possible. You just don't want to, right? There's a line you probably shouldn't cross. And the reason why you don't want to cross it is because you're worried about customer lifetime value. Over time, you'll make more money. Now, if you're in business just for 5 years so you can cash out, close that business, then you're going to have high profit margins and you're not going to care about retention or customer lifetime value. You're going to give the illusion of retention. Phil just sent me an email about an MLM company that had that strategy in mind, right? They wouldn't worry about customer retention. They would worry about profit margins. Revenue per customer, that makes sense. Now, the reason why you would want to focus on revenue per customer is for two reasons. You want to know which customers you want to cater to the most. Yes, I said that. Please know, let me stop sharing your screen just for a second, Dion, because I want them to see me when I say this. Michelle G., please know giving is a gift. Now, if you're going to go to your choir member and go, oh, my God, you sing so much. You sing so well. If you're going to go, oh, you just play the organ so well, then you ought to say, PJ, I appreciate that $3,000. You give so well because that's a gift. The same talent that we, you know, put on display, giving is a gift. There are some people that just give well. And if you look at your, show your screen again, Dion. If you look at your revenue per customer and you keep seeing that Pam Norris is 50 times more than everybody else, you need to buy her something. Just send it and say thank you for all the purchases you have given us, you have done during the years. We are grateful. Y'all hear what I'm saying? Now imagine how Pam, well, let's see, Pam, if someone was to send you a gift, a good gift too, something good, about how loyal of a customer you've been, how would you feel?
Fantastic. Shocked first because it's not customary. I mean, it sets that person or that agency apart from the others and increases my loyalty to them, because they appreciate me.
There you go. Y'all hear that? That's out the horse's mouth. Go ahead, Michelle G. Thank you, Pam. Hold on. I see you talking. And I see your mic unmuted, but you must got to mute it on somewhere else.
Better.
Yeah, got you.
Okay. I was just thinking about that. I have a board member who actually, every event we have, she donates.
Mm-hmm.
So I was actually going to send her a gift card.
Mm-hmm.
You know, for what she does, because I mean, no matter what, she donates at least $100 every event.
Mm.
So that actually just, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Confirms it, right? If you send her a gift card, like you just said, if you have an extra $100, send her $100 and a handwritten thank you. Thank you so much for how much you have given us. We just received an extra blessing, and due to how much you have given us and how we even got here, we wanted to pass this blessing directly to you as a thank you. Thank you so much, and we look forward to your next generous donation as well. Michelle G.
Got it.
There you go. Just like that. But that was worth the price of admission right there. I'm telling y'all, do that. Do that. Do that. Okay. And then market share is, yeah, market share. That's, you've been dealing with that for a long time. Cool. That is your defining the key terms of what we have been talking about here.